Lesson 23, the power of God, and we're going to talk about the name of Christ as the power of God, which is the hand of God. Christ is the actual hand of God. The movement of God is Christ Jesus our Lord. And our key verse comes from 1 Corinthians 1:24, and this is the Amplified, and it says, "But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks or Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." So we're going to be talking about both. Next lesson is going to be the wisdom of God, but this lesson we're going to focus first on the power of God. And in this lesson, we want to look at mastery. Mastery, because there's a growing up, a growing process that takes place once you've accepted Jesus Christ. You don't want to just accept him and just be like right inside the door of the house. You know, you ever come into the house and you're just right inside the door? You know, you want to come on in the house and see what's in there. And there is mastery that has to be attained by you as you learn more and more about what you did that day when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. And one of the big aspects, huge aspects of knowing Christ is understanding his power, the power of God. So we're going to talk about mastery in when it comes to the power of God. So our verse under mastery is from 1 John 4:4, and it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Now, we've heard this scripture over and over again, but don't you want to live it?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes I read that scripture over and over, and I'm like, Lord, really? We're greater than them that are in the world? Because it looks to me like they're greater a lot of times than what is going on with us. But it's because there's a process that needs to take place in the children of God. We've got to master. We've got to come to mastery when it comes to the power of God that is within us. He gave it to us. Our scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:24, let me read it again. "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, all of us, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." So whoever you are, if you have Christ in you, you've got his power and you've got his wisdom within you. You have access to it. So we're going to talk about how we access this. So the point on your lesson says, at some point, in some place, in some situation, if you are growing and thriving in the kingdom of God, you will begin to tap into the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you are growing and if you are thriving, at some point in time, you are going to come to a place where you need to tap into the power of God and the wisdom of God. You don't want your Christian life to be stagnant.
No.
So if you want to walk in this power, it is a process where you have to grow into. You will begin to know his mastery over all situations. And I warn you right now that his mastery over a situation is going to look different than what you have seen and taught, what you are taught in the world. He's so different than the world, folks. He's so different. So as you master this, you've got to learn to look through his perspective, and then you can understand and operate in his power. So you will come to, you will begin to know his mastery over all situations. You will begin to know that the power of God and the wisdom of God go hand in hand. Both are mastered together in a life. God's power will be demonstrated in the ones who have learned to live within his wisdom. You know, so God is not going to give a loaded revolver to a five-year-old. Okay, you wouldn't do that. God wouldn't either. So he asked, he said, if you want to know my power, you got to know my wisdom. They go hand in hand. That's why he blessed King Solomon the way he did. Because when Solomon became king, he didn't ask for riches and status and power. He asked for wisdom. And God said, oh, because you asked for the right thing, you asked for the wisdom to lead the people, I'm going to give you wisdom and everything else. Until this day on planet Earth, there has not been another person that has been as rich as King Solomon. No one had had the riches he had. But he asked God for wisdom. Because God saw, okay, I can work with you. We can do some things through you. So the first point on your lesson, God himself will make it so you must call on his power. See, you guys don't like that. But he will make it so you must call on his power. Not everybody else's power, but his power. For your sake, he will allow the circumstances of your life to be such that you must master the privilege of calling on the power of God. Oh, man. I hope you guys are going to get this. You got to see how he loves you, how he has to deal with us. He has to deal with us humans in a certain way. You know, so he has to allow certain things to happen so that we learn how to call on him for power. It may be at death's door, oh God, or in the face of hopelessness, but sooner or later, you will be brought to the place where it is you and God alone. I was brought to that place. There was nobody. No, I mean nobody. Even mama was out of town. And I was on my own. And, you know, I had to think about it. I said, I think he did this on purpose. He let it happen on purpose. He says, it's time for you to grow up, child. You got to grow up. It's time for you to learn how to call on God for yourself and not run into everybody else to call on God for you. So God sets you up. I'm telling you, he will set you up so that you have got to call on his power. And it's just you and God alone. You know, we don't say this out loud, but deep within us, we have learned to rely on other powers over his. We don't say it. We've accepted Jesus Christ. We're Christians. So we believe. We're believers. But deep within, when trouble hits our house, when trouble hits our life, we have learned to call unto other powers than his. It's true. It's true, folks. I mean, and we call on the easy power, the one we can call on, the person, the friend, the family member, mommy and daddy that has all this stuff. Mommy and daddy, we learn to call on the easy power, the one that we know we can call on, and they'll be right there. I call that the easy power. We call on the visible power, the things that we can see. I got my big bank account, so I can see that. So let me call on that. The things that we know, the things that we know are the tangible things. We call on the power of purchase, the things that we can buy to solve our problems. We can buy it. We have money, and those are the powers that we call on. All of which will fail at some point. I'm going to tell you, every single one of these things. And people don't mean to fail you. They're people. They're humans. They can't help it. So if you're relying on something that's going to eventually fail you, guess what? You're going to fall at some point. And that's why God in his wisdom says, I'm going to chew up so that all those things are gone and you have to call on me. He does it on purpose. I'm telling you, he will do it. He'll strip you of everything. So you have to call on him. There will be nobody else left to call on but God, because he wants you to tap into his power. You are his children. Christ died for it. He died so that you can operate in his power. The scripture says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? That scripture is for believers. Non-believers don't have a salvation to neglect. So the scripture is to you. How shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? You neglect his power operating in your life. Oh, I'm okay. I'm making it. Oh, man, God will bring you to a point where you'll be calling on him. For your sake, he's trying to grow you up. We avoid, we ignore his power, but it takes, he wants to bring us to a place to master his power. Just some key scriptures that you can look up is 1 Corinthians 1:24. We won't have time to go to it. And 1 John 4:4. These are promises of God's power in our lives. 1 John 4 and 4 and 1 Corinthians 1:24. They're already on there. I'm looking at my extra notes and they're on there. So we think about these promises that God has made to us. So why does his power elude us? And that's got to be a question you ask yourself. Lord, where is the power? Where is your power in my life? Why am I always beneath and not above? Why? Lord, your promises are here. 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 John is telling me that you have overcome little children and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you, than he that is within the world. So Lord, why? Is it eluding me? And as I said, keep in mind wisdom and power. If you don't want to learn about him and you don't want to grow and wise in him, then his power is going to elude you. Because the power will never come to you. I'll tell you right now, it goes hand in hand. If you're not learning and growing and trying to understand his wisdom and meditating on his word and trying to, Holy Spirit, great teacher, teach me. Christ, teach me. And as he's showing you and opening up things to you, then his power comes along with it as you start to operate in his wisdom. So again, we're living in a time where we really have got to understand, people of God, how we're going to live within the power of God. So we're going to go into this next section that talks about the steps to mastery of the power of God. These are some steps to mastery. Number one, you need to learn of the power. You must learn of the power. As I said before, it operates within his wisdom, and you've got to learn about it. Mastery of the power of God begins with the desire to learn of it. This desire may come from various places. Sometimes God, in his infinite wisdom, will create the desire in you by creating a need in your life. Or bringing you to the place of frustration. Nothing you do is working. Or he'll bring you to the place of exhaustion. You're just tired. I'm just tired. I've just been trying and trying and nothing is working. God does it on purpose, folks. I'm telling you. I tried this and I tried that plan and I tried this get rich quick scheme and I tried that and I tried this and nothing's working. He'll bring you to the place of exhaustion. I love God because he'll just stand there. He'll just watch you. He'll watch you spend all your money. He'll watch you wear yourself out. And then when you're sitting there in a heap full of tears and frustration, hitting the wall, beating your head up against the wall, and when you are ready to pray, as we talked about the rock. See, the rock ties into this because he is like, I just have to watch and wait until they get tired. And then when you're ready to pray, then you're ready to learn of his wisdom. The scriptures declare, but the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This is Daniel 11:32. But the people that know their God, know in the intimate sense of know God intimately. They shall be made strong and do exploits. Exploits comes from the word exploitation. Exploitation is when you can take advantage of somebody or something. You can take advantage of a situation because you're so above and so high. Because the people that exploit others, I mean, we use it often, it's used in a negative sense. Because a person that exploits another person takes advantage because they're bigger and they're stronger. But when you talk about exploits, that means you're going to be doing things that, because you have the power and you have the wisdom to do exploits. In the name of God, you could do exploits and great things. We're looking at this word in the sense that you'll be doing great things, things that are newsworthy. So, but first of all, you have to know your God. You have to learn the power. And before you learn, you've got to have that desire. And you know, you have to be like what S.D. Gordon. Remember S.D. Gordon, our book, Quiet Talks on Prayer. And I'll never forget what he said in that book. And he said, Lord, I am willing that you make me willing. See, sometimes that's where we are. Amen. I'm not willing, but Lord, I'm willing that you make me willing. That's your first prayer. My first prayer is, Lord, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel like reading the word. I don't feel it, Lord. So that's your first prayer. Lord, I am willing that you make me willing. And he will create the desire in your life one way or another. He'll create it. It'd be nice if you just prayed this prayer and let him just create that desire. But he loves you enough to create the need. He loves you enough to allow you to become frustrated and exhausted to get to the point where you want to learn of the power. So number one, you have to learn of the power. Number two, you have to believe in the power. It's fueled by faith. See, after you learn what's in the Word of God, you got to believe it. You've got to believe it. I've heard this book since I was a kid, but I didn't always believe it. It was just a nice little story, you know. Boy, wasn't that an amazing movie? The Ten Commandments. Ooh, wow. Thrilling entertainment, but I don't know if I necessarily believed it. So the next step to mastering the power of God is that you have to believe it. It is fueled by faith. Remember Moses. You know, Moses had some steps to believing. This is a man who ran from Pharaoh, but then returned to face him with faith after being tutored by God in the desert. See, some of us, God will take us and tutor us. We've been running. We're full of fear. But he came back to face probably the greatest king in the world at that time, the Pharaoh of Egypt. He came back knowing that there was a bounty on his life because he had killed the Egyptian. Remember, he killed the Egyptian before he left. So he had to come back to face that and to tell the greatest king on planet Earth to let his people go. So something happened with him. He learned to believe in the power of God in the desert. You must keep in mind that faith is not necessarily the absence of fear. Faith is the presence of belief. I'm sure there was something still going on. I'm sure his heart was racing when he was standing in front of Pharaoh, but he did it. See, it's the presence of belief. I believe God enough to go and do this. My heart is racing, but I believe God enough to go in there and do what I need to do. When we look at some of the things that Moses dealt with, you know, before he got to that place. Remember, he was gone for about 40 years. I think he was gone for about 40 years before he came back. You know, so we're going to talk about some of the things that happened to him while he was out there, because this is a process. Okay, so number two, we need to believe in the power. It's fueled by faith. God is faithful to bring faith into your life. Number three, you have to grow in the power. Oh, you got to grow in this thing. It is strengthened by his word and prayer. Moses grew in the power of God step by step. From the time he was sent, from the time he left Egypt to the time he went before Pharaoh, Moses grew. If we look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, and this is the place where God is commanding Moses basically to go back and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And Exodus 4 verse 1 says, "And then Moses answered and said, but suppose they would not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you." See, that's where he was. The man that parted the Red Sea, this is where he was at this point in time. But suppose, you know, he is standing in front of a burning bush, folks, that is not being consumed, and the voice of the living God is coming out of this bush, and he still will say this. But suppose they don't believe me. Some of us are like that. We just, God has done amazing things for us, and we say, but suppose this happens, and suppose that happens. But you have to grow in this thing, see? I don't fault Moses because I remember when I was there. I remember when I was shaking in my boots. I remember I couldn't speak in front of anybody. I couldn't speak in front of people. I remember, I told you this, Terry's not here today, but so just, when I was presenting my patient in medical school, I was so terrified. Four people and I couldn't even present a patient. My voice was so low. And the patient is Joel Smith and he came and he would have I mean, literally, it was like someone turned the volume down on my voice. I was so terrified. All the way to what you see in front of you. And I'm telling you, it's a power. It is God. Because I remember Karen. I remember what Karen was, God. So I don't fault Moses. I get Moses. I understand. You know, God had done some wonderful things in my life, but I was still saying this, but what if they don't believe me? So if you're there, I want to encourage you. If you're there, I want to encourage you. Keep growing in the power of God. Keep walking forward in God step by step. He demonstrated the power of God. It began with his rod, turning his rod into a serpent. Remember that scene in front of Pharaoh? You all don't know the story. He went before Pharaoh. He came back to Egypt and he went before Pharaoh. And he commanded Pharaoh to let the people go. And Pharaoh just made fun of him. And so he took his rod to show the power of God. And he threw it down. And the rod became a serpent. And then Pharaoh got his magicians to do the same thing. And the rod of Moses, or the rod of Aaron, I believe, consumed the other serpents of the magicians. So he was showing his power. So he went from that point, and step by step, I mean, you all know the story, the plagues and all the things that happened, all the way to the death of the firstborn of Egypt, you know, and each time Moses was right there demonstrating the power of God, all the way to the parting of the Red Sea. That's how, see, you can see the growth. As you look, you can see the growth. And this is the man that was trembling in Exodus 4. All the way to parting the Red Sea. Grow, you must grow. Number three, you must grow in the power of God. And that means you have to exercise it. You have to step out. You have to hear the Holy Spirit when he's telling you to do these things. Step out. Speak out when he tells you to speak out. And then you'll see his power work and you'll get more boldness and you'll get more boldness and you'll get more boldness until you're ready to do the great things for God. And then number four, to mastery, you have to live in the power. It is assimilated or made a part of you by obedience. See, you can do all these things, but unless you're willing to obey, you can't live it. Obedience is living the power. As you live in the power of God, remember there will always be those who do not believe in the power of God, even after they have seen it. They will call it coincidence and continue to sin. Like Pharaoh. I couldn't understand that fella. Well, I know God hardened his heart, so maybe that explains some things, because you know, if I had seen all what I had seen, and then the death of the firstborn, and then you let, you know, at that point, you did let them go, but then you had the audacity to get your army and go after them? You know, I'm like, there will always be people like that, I'm going to tell you, that will not believe. Oh, it's just a coincidence. Oh, you know. There will be some that will get it, but some people, the Pharaoh chased the children of Israel to the desert. But you continue to live in the power of God. Continue to obey. Continue to grow in obedience. And those are the four steps to mastery. Because see, God will start you out with some little things. And then as you obey those little things, he's going to give you something bigger and something bigger and something bigger and something bigger. And you're going to see his power move more and more and more in your life. And at some point, you will master it. It is not for a selected few. It is not for the preacher that's got a ministry on TV. It's not for this one. It's not for that one. It's, It's for everybody. It says it right here. It says, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's everybody. So ask yourself, why is his power eluding me? What is going on with me, Lord, that your power is eluding me? I don't see it demonstrated in my life. Ask him. And this is a personal thing. I'm not talking about the power to control everybody else around you. This is a personal thing. I need the power seen in my personal life. The things that you have called me to do, Lord, it's happening. It's being demonstrated. So we've got to get there. Another example of the mastery of the power of God is the story of Esther. The steps of mastery of the power of God and the wisdom of God is well displayed in the book of Esther through the lives of Mordecai and his niece, Queen Esther. The scriptures record of Mordecai, the scriptures record of Mordecai, even all of the officials of the provinces and the chief rulers, satraps, and the governors and those who attended the king's business supported the Jews in defeating their enemies because of the fear of Mordecai and his God's power had fallen on them. That's Esther 9:3. Now you see, we got to talk about this Mordecai for, because this is an example of someone that lived within the power of God. Now I need to draw the picture of his situation. Okay, this is a man who's from a people who are in captivity to another group of people. Okay, they're in captivity. The Jews are in captivity again. Remember we talked about Jeremiah and how they were taken into captivity? Well, this is the situation that they're in captivity. And Mordecai is one of these captives, but the word of God is saying right here that even all of the officials of the provinces and the chief rulers and the governors and those who attended the king's business supported the Jews in defeating their enemy because of the fear of Mordecai and his God. You don't think that can happen today, do you? You don't think that can happen, that God can operate in you so much that people were like, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to mess with Mary, okay? I've seen too much. I've seen too much, and you all, you know, I don't understand it, but I just know every time somebody messes with her, you don't think it can happen. It can happen. God will protect you. Remember we talked about, but thou, O Lord, our shield about me. David talked about it. Many come after me, Lord. Many shoot their arrows at me, but thou, O Lord, are shield about me. You're the glory and the lifter up of my head. It can happen in 2016. I know it. So we look at this man, Mordecai, and how he's living in the power of God. People will be afraid to bother you. Most of the king's people, these are the king's people, they were afraid to cross Mordecai and his people. And then there was Haman. Remember, there's always one in every crowd. There's always going to be one person that's like, oh, I'm going to test this out. Remember Pharaoh? I'm going to come after Moses anyways. And lost his entire army. In Mordecai's case, there was Haman. Just like the Pharaoh. And he decided, I'm coming after Mordecai because he's not bowing to me. Some of you all know the story that Haman would come. He was one of the king's high people, and he would come in the gate, and all the other people would bow, but Mordecai would not bow to him. So Haman made it up in his mind. He's going to come after Mordecai. When you live within the power of God, remember, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's Isaiah 54:17. If you want to look that up, and Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now the thing about Mordecai, your next point says, Mordecai lived a purpose-driven life. and was sensitive and responsive to the movements of the hand of God. See, that's the secret of living in his power. You're sensitive to how he's moving. You're praying and you have his word in you, and you can see how he's moving because it's different than anything you've ever seen before. Because remember, you were raised in Babylon. You know all this Babylonian stuff. You know, this tit for tat and all this stuff. But God's hand is different. God is loving the unlovely. God is changing the worst of humanity. And God is, so if you're sensitive, you can work as you live in his power. God, you have a purpose-driven life. The Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to be doing. And you'll see the movements of the hand of God as you operate in the power of God. He learned of the power of God as he was obedient to God. That's the key. As you are obedient to God, you will learn of his power. And what if I miss God? What if I miss? If you miss God, God will find you. God will. He's not, oh my God, I didn't know she was going to do that. Oh my God. Oh, or oh my me, because he's God. Oh my me. Instead of oh my God. I didn't know she was going to do that. Remember, we went over that, the Alpha and Omega. He already knew. God will find you. So don't be so afraid to step out when you believe God has told you something. And I give you this warning, God is not going to tell you to do something that's against his word. Okay? So when you see all these people getting all crazy, doing all these crazy things and hurting people and all this stuff, oh, see, I'm like, that's not lining up with the word. So God is going to ask you to do things that line up with his word. So as we look at Mordecai and what he was going through, he was obedient to God while in a foreign land. Mordecai, through unplanned circumstances, was promoted and honored by the king. God set Mordecai up over and over again. Don't you know God will set you up so that you find favor with people? You're not even trying. You know, if you ever work in corporate America, they always trying to impress the boss and trying to do this and trying to look good and trying. God will set you up and have you be in a place of favor, and you're not even trying. That's what he did for Mordecai. He let Mordecai see things. He let Mordecai have knowledge of certain things. In one situation, he let Mordecai have knowledge of a situation that actually saved the king's life. And back then, they record everything. Okay, Mordecai, on November, you know, he saved the king's life by reporting. So God will set you up so that you are promoted and you're honored. God set up Mordecai's life lessons in wisdom as well. And he learned and responded. And as he learned and responded, he found favor with the king of the land. God allowed Mordecai to come upon information that saved the king's life. And this is in Esther chapter 2. Bringing him to a position of favor with the king. And I'm going to tell you this right now. When you find favor, when God is giving you favor, pay attention. He's got something for you to do. Amen. For such a time as this. You're brought to certain places for such a time as this. So pay attention. Mordecai was being elevated. Remember, God has always got something going on. I'm telling you, he always has got something. It's never just about you. I have found that. It was never just about me. It was always about something else. Something there that he had for me to do, and that's why he set things up the way he set things up. So you want to pay attention. Lord, I found favor. So Lord, just prepare me for what's coming next. Something's coming next, Lord. I just know you got something for me to do, so let me be prepared. So I'll be really ready to be obedient at the next step and be ready to operate in your power in the next step. That's coming, because something was coming for the Jews. The status of Mordecai was established because he believed in the power of God, even as he and his people lived in a foreign land, outnumbered and threatened with persecution He refused to bow to wickedness. And sometimes, you know, that may be the situation for Christians in this land today. You feel outnumbered. You feel persecuted. But even in those situations, you will find favor. You will find favor. Your situation doesn't matter. Well, I don't have much. It doesn't matter. These people were in captivity. But they found favor. Mordecai grew in the power of God in the face of the extinction of his people. See, here it is. He was facing the extinction of his people. And again, they were captives. They had no rights. Not like there were human rights laws back then. There were no human rights laws. These people were in captivity. So if I want to wipe you out, the king wants to wipe them out, the king can just wipe them out. Kill every man, woman, and child in this nation. So Mordecai grew in the power of God in the face of the extinction of his people. He encouraged others also to grow in the power of God, most notably his niece, Queen Esther. He raised her and schooled her in relying on the power of God over the power of men and kingdoms. For some reason, it was set up. See, another setup. Queen Esther's parents were not there. But Mordecai raised her. This man who understood the power of God raised her, not knowing one day she was going to be the queen. But God knew. See, it's not, as I said, it's never just about you. You got to look around. Who's around you? Who are you raising? You better pay attention to who you're raising, who these little ones are around you. You might be raising kings and queens, presidents, prime ministers. You don't know. Pour the word of God into them. Pay attention. Because the day came when he had to approach her. And because he had taught her things. He had taught her things. I know he, you know, the book doesn't go into all the details. But I know he had to have taught her some things. Because she knew how to fast and pray. So she knew something. She had an excellent teacher. He raised her and schooled her, relying on the power of God over the power of men and kingdoms. But just like anybody else, Queen Esther had to grow in the power of God by her own obedience to him. See, this time her neck was on the line. Because there was a law, you don't go before this king. Even though this king was her husband, she could not go before him unless he asked her, invited her. And if you were not invited and you came before the king, you stand the risk of dying on the spot. So I just remember that old song that we used to sing back home. It's not my mother, it's not my father, it's not my sister, it's not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. See, Queen Esther came to that point, like, Lord, it's me this time. It's not Uncle Mordecai, it's me. Lord, I got to pray for myself now. Remember that conversation that Mordecai had with her, telling her, the next point, it talks about it. Because of Mordecai, Queen Esther lived in the power of God at a critical time in Jewish history and saved her people. She called a fast of the people and then stepped out in the power of God before the king, even at the risk of her own life. Remember that conversation? He said, how do you know that you did not come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Folks, it's still happening. Yes. These stories are written. They're recorded in the Word of God for a reason. Because you are placed where you are placed for such a time as this. You need to pay attention. I don't know. I don't care if you're a father, if you're just your mother. I'm just a housewife. You better pay attention. Those little ones. To who your husband is, who your wife is. I mean, all these things. You gotta. Who is around me, Lord? Pay attention. For such a time as this. You know, we have to be careful with ourselves. You know, the scriptures tell us over and over, work out your own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. Because there are things that you're supposed to be doing. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Wherever you are, wherever your place, pay attention. Be praying over the people that you're interacting with. Lord, why am I with this person? Why did I run into this person today? You ever have people on your mind and then you run into them? You know, God is like, pay attention. I need you to pray for that one. I need you to call on me so I can send some holy angels around that one today. For such a time as this, I mean, I'm telling you, we've got to learn. If you're going to operate in the power of God, folks, you've got to learn how to step out, how to be obedient, even when your life is on the line. And sometimes we don't, in this country, you don't necessarily deal with our very lives being on the line, but we deal with big, big decisions concerning our life. Where are you going to work? Where are you going to live? Where are you going to move? God will call you to move somewhere. God will call you to do something. Major life decisions, and you're like, oh, God, what if I... He'll find you. But step out. Don't be stagnant in your Christian walk. This walk was never intended for stagnation. You're a running river. Alive. He's taken you someplace. In his power. So if your life is stagnant, you don't see anything going on, oh, let's work on the mastery of the power. Lord, he'll begin. And you know, he's such a good God. He'll begin with the little stuff. He'll begin with some little stuff. You know, give somebody $10. You know, do this, do that. You know, go and buy that person standing on the corner a meal. He'll just give you little stuff to do. He says, okay, you did that. Okay, now, do this. Bake your neighbor some bread. Take it over there. I mean, just so many things that he'll tell you to do. I said, okay, you did that. Now, I want you to give your car to Sally.
My car.
Yes, I want you to give your car. It'll get bigger and bigger. Give your car. Give my car. Jesus, I just paid it off. Please, Jesus. I'm telling you, you want the great things of God. You want the power. You're going to step out in some things. Step out in some faith. Step out in some powerful things. Boy, if you can give away a car, then maybe one day God will bless you and you give away a house. And, you know, one day you'll be... Because if he can trust you with riches, he'll give you riches.
Yes.
Right. Greed is easy.
Okay.
Greed doesn't take wisdom. It doesn't take wisdom to be greedy. But it does take wisdom to trust you. Lord, I feel that you're asking me to do this. I feel that you're asking me to, Lord, you know my heart is sincere, so I'm going to step out and I'm going to do this. You know, and I think about sometimes, you know, I grew up in a very strict Pentecostal church. I mean, you know, all about the rules and the regulations, and you didn't wear pants, and you didn't wear makeup, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and it was all these list of rules that we didn't. And I look back at those folks today, and I think to myself, I said, you know, Lord, they did what they knew how to do. You know, I mean, they did what they did, they taught us so that they could honor you. Even though they had some growing and some learning to do and some things, they were honoring you in doing what they did. God will do the same thing to you. Was I supposed to do that? God, I did it. But God sees that heart. and that you were trying to honor him. They were trying to honor him by wearing no pants and no makeup. They were trying to honor God. That wasn't an easy thing to do, folks. I'm telling you. It was not easy going to high school in a long skirt. But God, I believe, honors when you step out in him, when you're doing your best. Lord, I do it as an honor to you. I may have missed you a little bit, but I do it as an honor to you. I've done things that I believe God told me to do, and sometimes I didn't do it just right. You know, I may have had an attitude when I did it, but I did it. But he honored the fact that I was obedient to do it. And I know he did. He said, well, you know, I honor the fact that you did it. Now let's work on your attitude. One step at a time. But you know what? As I look back, I said, Lord, I thank you that I was obedient. Because I know you honor the fact that I was obedient. So don't think your obedience has to be this perfect thing. He's just asking, will you do it? Will you step out? Will you give it? Will you do it? So Esther was at this point, getting back to Queen Esther, where she was in this place to risk her own life. The mastery, the next point, the mastery of the power of God usually takes place in the face of dire circumstances. At the border of the Red Sea, hallelujah, when with an army behind you, in the fiery furnace, in the lion's den, these are the places where the power of God is best showcased. So folks, if you're in the fiery furnace, if you're in the lion's den, these are the places where the power of God can be best showcased. And don't think he doesn't see you. He sees you and tests you. And he will showcase his power if you would call on him. His power shines brightest in the darkness. As the scriptures have said, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Let me read that again. Yes. My power works best in weakness. Yes. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness, says the apostle, Amen. So that the power of Christ can work through me. Amen. Oh my goodness. Amen. So that I boast in my weakness, so that the power of Christ can work in me. So man, he's like, I boast. I'm glad when I'm weak. No, I don't have the money to pay it. Hallelujah. No, I don't know where I'm going. Hallelujah. Because that's when the power of God is going to show off in my life. Your weakness is on purpose. God is growing you up in his power. And the last point is, we understand the power of God, we can understand better why the apostle learned to say, I glory in tribulation. And if you read the rest of that scripture, he talks about, because it works this in me, and it builds this in me, and it builds that in me, and it does. So now, I glory in tribulation because of what it does in us. We can't lose. And you understand that? We can't lose. You know, as the apostle said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I can't lose. You know, if things are great, hallelujah, things are great. Praise God, I'm having a great day. And if things are hard, oh my God, he's working something in me. I've been chosen for something to work in me. You know, I mean, folks, this is real. His power is working, wants to work in your life. He was learning of the power of God working in his life as he went through trials. The apostle's faith and character were built as he experienced the power of God in his life. Folks, I'm telling you, this is someplace you want to go to. you do not want to remain stagnant. You don't want to come into Christ and just be just inside the door. I'm going to stay right here. I'm saved. I'm in. I'm going to heaven. So just leave me alone. I'm in the house. No, you laugh. There's Christians that feel that. You know what? I go to church. You know, I've accepted Jesus. So I don't need to do all that other stuff y'all doing. But I'm telling you, the enemy is like, look, just watching. Mm-hmm. You just right inside the door, aren't you? He's outside the door saying, I can smell you. Just inside. So I got some stuff for you. I'm telling you, you want to come on in. You want to come on in. Folks, you want to come on in and exercise the power of God in your life. You want to start getting into the lessons that he's teaching you. Because God is, I'm telling you, God's teaching you every single day. He's got stuff going on. I mean, I'm like, I didn't even expect this today. Yeah. Jesus, I had my agenda all set. Yeah. I did not need this.
This is really.
And then the Holy Spirit will speak. But pay attention to what I'm doing. Can you take the time? Can you take the time to pour into this one, pour into that one? You'll learn something. It's not just about you pouring into somebody. It's about you learning something. Learning about the love of Christ. Because you need some lessons on the love of Christ because you think your agenda is more important than love. All this stuff is staying here.
When that light bulb goes off, and you're aware of what's happening, it is powerful.
It is powerful.
You're like,
and then the Holy Spirit, she finally got it.
Oh, and that light bulb hits you.
Haven't you had that? Okay, we're going to open for questions since Cheryl started it. That's all right. I'm sorry. We were ready for questions, comments anyway.
Well, you were emphasizing speaking when God was telling you. And you have to learn to shut up when he tells you to.
Yes.
Because I really did have to learn that, to let go and let God. And I couldn't fix it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Finally, all these years and situations would occur, and I had to learn not to say, shut up. And the other thing on obedience, as I told you some of it about my waitress, one of my waitresses, I had the DVD on the war room, and I thought that was mainly for Christians, the war room, but I was told to give that to her, and I did, and she came in the next day. She said, that was the best movie I've ever seen. So me and my other waitress, right there behind the counter at the restaurant, led her to Christ, and as you see, she's here with a husband that was so far away from the Lord, period. But who would have thought?
I tell you, boy, I'm telling you, when the power of God is operating, I'm telling you, yes, he will tell you to be quiet. He tells me to be quiet all the time.
I wanted to fix it.
Especially when it comes to family.
Yeah, I was there.
You want to, you know, but God will tell you, if you be quiet, and let my power operate, even in your silence.
You know,
my
back,
power.
He's back to what I'm talking about. He's back last week and this week. And it took the one in my restaurant that was so far away from God, period.
Hallelujah.
And Stephen had been working with him. And so when he decided to come to church, he used to play in the orchestra. Uh-huh. He taught here.
Mm-hmm.
And so God used this guy that I didn't even want in the restaurant for a while. And now he's in, I forbid, long story.
I can write a soap opera about
all this. But but you see, I think it just fits in so much with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. The power. See, and I'm glad you shared those details. Someone that you didn't even want. See, the power of God, when you allow the power of God to operate, it will move. it will move. And in the unlikely person.
Yes, yes.
The one that you thought, oh no. Mm-hmm. When you allow the power of God to move. You know, I was listening to Joyce Meyer last night. She was saying something about if the believers would just operate in love and we would operate in the power of God, the whole world would be saved by now. We could go into heaven.
Yes.
But we won't operate in the power.
The other thing is that they have the 16-year-old daughter is in prison. And that's another long story. And what Pastor Steve said last week and showed that minister how bad he was. Because we kept telling her that she had to be there because she was going to kill herself or somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I told her, in Christ, he could do anything. Mm-hmm. And the service last week just fit right
wow.
in.
Wow. The power mm-hmm. of God.
I'm thinking about just about the power of God. The first step to me is not my will be done, but thou will be done, allowing God to use you. So now you start operating that power because, you know, not my will be done. Because you can do all things through Christ Jesus, but it's in his power, like you said, my will be done. One thing that I do in the morning every day, I thank God for your wisdom to lead and guide me in your counsel. Order my step, I lean now my understanding. Your will be done, not my will. What Jesus said in the garden, that very example, your will be done. And once you do that and you wait upon the Lord and the destination that he had for you, then you begin to walk in it. You walked in it and now you see it. So we could continue to walk in and continue to grow in his power, but not on our own.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you. And I think once you start that walk, oh my goodness, you don't want to come off that road.
That's right. Exactly.
You want more exactly. and more. Yes. As the, exactly. David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And man, I'm telling you, I mean, you got to really get what that means because, oh my goodness, he brought me through. I'm seeing things happen yeah, you're right. in my family as I operate in the power of God. You know, and not
it causes it's for your glory.
It's for his
yes. it's for amen. Your glory. When you amen. Start doing that, when you start glorifying God, then he's going to glorify you. When you start blessing God for walking in his will and to desire your heart to fulfill his will and you see the joy of it and he's using you.
Uh-huh. Amen. Yeah, I'm telling you.
I know you were saying about God when he's doing all these things to you, like, I don't know, he's been really blessing us tremendously. And all the prayers that we prayed already, like, years. It's coming to pass now.
Wow.
And it's just amazing. And you said that there is a purpose that God wants you to do this, but you know, but we need to glorify him and everything. It's amazing how God really he just manifests all the
yes.
prayers.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
my goodness. I just
I'm
love
telling
him.
You. You know, and it's interesting how you said the prayers that you prayed years ago.
Yes.
You know, but
yes.
but since that time, you've grown in wisdom.
Exactly.
And as you grow in that wisdom through the experience of power, yes. then he says, okay, now I can release this and I can release that. And his power starts working in your life because now those things you prayed long time ago, now you've grown in wisdom and now I can release these things to you. So be encouraged. You know, wherever you are in the mastery of the power, be encouraged. Keep going. Keep going on the steps. Keep like, Lord, what is the assignment for today? Lord, show me your will and your way today. You know, as if you're getting it, like Cheryl said, you know, like a light bulb comes on in the middle of the day. Oh, my goodness. This is God. This God. And that, oh, rejoice. God is like, yay. She got it. Now tomorrow she's going to get it even faster and even faster and even faster. Amen. And you're going to see the power of God operate in your life like never before. Virginia, did you have a comment?
Yeah, when you were saying about people, when you people don't speak out, I think a lot of times because of, they're too worried about what other people are going to think. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to please man and not glorifying Christ. And I think when we stop trying to please man, then we will see the glory come down.
Amen.
And I think that's what's happening in this day and age. Too many people are out there trying to do the right thing instead of just doing what God calls you to do as an individual.
Wow.
Speak out. If God puts it on your heart to speak out, speak out. Because it's not the power within you. It's the power within you. Through God is using you. Another thing that really came to my mind is Esther had to grow for herself.
Yes.
She had to do it for herself.
Yeah.
And just like us with the kids, you know, and nieces, nephews, and everything else we have around us, we have to speak to them a lot of times like if we're not going to be here tomorrow, but we're going to leave something planted in their hearts that they carry to somebody else. And I think we'll be fine as long as we just keep listening to God's voice to speak when you're to speak. Yeah. Don't quench the spirit. Praise God. He is good.
Yes. He is good. He is good. I'm telling you. Anybody else before we close?
You mentioned Joyce Meyer here in Sloan. She usually says to do things, do it afraid.
Yeah, do it afraid.
And we know Moses did it afraid, Esther, Mordecai did it afraid, and we too. Yeah, there's power in obedience. That's just what he expects from us, is obedience. So when we step out, even doing it afraid, that's when the power comes in.
Yes.
Isn't that what preached out last week on loving and not pay attention. I was so pay attention to them coming in with shorts and thongs. I had to hear it.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So, folks, I'm telling you. You know, I just believe that in the days ahead, we're going to hear some awesome testimonies about the power of God operating in our lives. We're going to hear some amazing testimonies. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your power, Lord God. And Father, today we declare 1 Corinthians 1:24 over ourselves that says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Lord, we claim that promise in the name of Jesus. We claim that greater is he, which is the Christ that is within us, than he that is within the world, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that even as we grow in power, Lord, grow us up in wisdom. Lord, we need wisdom. We need your word. We need your love. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord, to win this world, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray that we would equally grow in wisdom as we go forward and as we step out in your power. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we totally expect you. Lord, we expect testimonies of your power in the days to come, Lord God. We want to hear the testimonies of what you have done and what you are doing.
Yes.
And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name, the power of God. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.